Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony is on super secret assignment today, so we have Bob from Bard's Nursery joining us this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ernie. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. Man, enjoying the beautiful weather.
Oh, isn't it great? It's great to see you. It's great to be back. And thanks for having me on. I love it.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to have you. A substitute for me when I'm not here and Tony when he's not here. And you know, you always provide a wealth of information for us, and I know you've come aptly prepared today.
Well, I hope so. You know, I love doing this.
Yeah.
I love, and then when we're not here, talking to the people out there about, hey, you know, I heard you on the show, and I love the, you know, I love the feedback.
Good.
I mean, I love to hear from people. This is great, and I'm sure that's what you've loved about being on radio for so many
years.
So it's a great thing.
It is. We got beautiful weather today. It's going to be a great day for you to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center, our nursery, and also to get some stuff done around the house. We talked before we came on the air. There's a lot of things still out there to do.
Oh, there is a lot to do. And we got a lot, like you said earlier, a lot to talk about. I mean, we're going to talk about a big question I'm getting in the garden center right now is it okay to plant?
Yeah.
You know, and later on coming up, we need to talk about that because, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. So, you know, there's that going on. We've had some bug issues and a little bit of disease issues because of how wet things were in the spring. You know, we're going to touch base on that. What do I do with those beds with weeds? I mean, there's a lot to talk about. And,
sure.
You know, we want people to call in and let's talk about stuff that's going on and some good things going on in their garden and the flowers. And, you know, let's have a dialogue. Let's make it fun.
And, you know, you mentioned bugs. The cicadas have emerged.
Oh, boy.
And it's been kind of fun. Normally, the robins around the house are trying to grab worms out of the ground. And it's interesting to watch them swoop in and snag a cicada now and then. And then off they go. And there are other bugs that have surfaced. I know my wife is battling an issue with the hostas. There's
a lot of slugs and a lot of damage with that. So, you know, we'll talk about those things as well. You know, there's a wealth of things going on out there right now. And overall, most of them aren't going to be any major issues. But there's things that we can do to help prevent and help fix. And then also make sure that we're making our gardens as good as we can be. So, you know, the weather's going to be great today. It was supposed to rain all week. They were saying all week, it's going to rain, going to rain, going to rain. And it's not. It's been absolutely beautiful. You know, it's been 70s. I think yesterday got up into the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm ready for it. I mean, we had that early February, and I think you and I were doing a show, and it was really warm.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the warmth and how, you know, how's that going to affect things, and it did a little bit. But then we kind of got a little cold and wet, and it's been really wet. For some people, almost impossible to garden, so they're backed up. So that's why today we really want to hound on, it's fine to get out and do everything.
Right.
It's still spring.
Yeah.
And we're finally warming up.
You know, you mentioned about how wet it has been. A lot of people who have put down treatments on their lawn, some of that may have washed away. You might want to revisit that. Go talk to your locally owned, independently operated garden center proprietor and get some advice.
You know, and I've met a lot of our local leaders in the last couple of weeks. I've been to a lot of their garden centers for different reasons. I've been out to see Scott at Maddox, and you got Todd at Baton's, mm-hmm. and Mike out at Holscher Hackman's. You know, I haven't been to all of them, but, you know, there's a great selection. They realize that it's a great spring. It's mm-hmm. been great for planting. And I know at our store, we've been keeping inventory a little higher because it's still such a great time to plant.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be gorgeous today. Put some sunblock on to get out and work.
You know, we talked about the forecast. I was just checking it a few minutes ago, and they have moved the storms or the rain to late evening Sunday.
Right.
So
there's no excuse.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, I know the Reds are on, and it's been fun to watch them. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're only three games back, so I'm a baseball guy. I know you are, too.
Yeah,
so, and I'm a big fan. I don't care if they're winning or losing. I'm a fan.
Right.
You know, it's just the way I am.
That's,
I just love the game of baseball.
That's the difference between fans and front runners and people who just
want to bandwagon guys.
But,
you know, I mean,
guys.
They're only three games back. So, to me, that's that I wasn't expecting what I'm getting from them. And their pitching staff needs to get some of the guys back. So, you know, they don't come on until 4:10 today.
Right.
There's time to get out and work. And, I mean, we were talking just a few minutes ago. It's it's already coming out. Lights out. It's going to be a gorgeous morning. I think this morning when I came in, it was like 57 mm-hmm. degrees. I mean, I actually feel I dress like Tony today. I'm in shorts and a shirt. You know, normally I'm the one wearing jeans and a sweatshirt.
Sure.
It's 20 degrees and Tony's still in his shorts.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But
and a long sleeve shirt.
Day.
That's his uniform.
That is in a hat.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery with us subbing for Tony today. And when we come back,
we are going to actually answer that main question. Is it okay to plant?
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Bob from Bard's Nursery sitting in for Tony today. And is it okay to plant?
It is okay to plant. This is a question that I'm sure all garden centers are getting the same thing. Because, you know, it gets hot one or two days. And perception is sometimes, a lot of times, reality to people.
Mm-hmm,
if we perceive it to be a certain way, then it is that way. And a great example is in February when it got so warm, I started getting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's spring. Well, it wasn't spring yet. It was a tease. But now we start getting into just the opposite. It's summer. Oh, I can't plant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it okay to plant?
It's too late. I can't do
it. It's too late. I better wait until fall. Which, let's be honest, the best time to plant is spring and fall. It really is.
Yeah.
But is it okay to do it now? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. There is no doubt it is perfectly fine to plant.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting great selections of fresh spring crop plants. They haven't been sitting in the garden center very long. I know most of us are turning over plants quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting, like, we got 3 shipments in yesterday. You know, I know Tony's getting shipments in. I know some of the other guys are getting shipments in because we'll combine loads. So, yes, it is okay. Now, why? Why do people say, oh, it's hot, it's hot? As long as you're willing to water, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You may have to water a little more often.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to water a little longer. We're going to touch base on watering a little bit later on in the show. But it is okay. There's nothing wrong. Now, moving plants as far as digging them physically out of the ground and moving them to another location is starting to get a little tricky. But at the garden center, if they're already in a burlap sack,
right,
or they're already in the wire baskets, and they've already been dug for spring and they're in temporary beds, those are perfectly fine, and it's still a great time to plant. We have really just started to warm up just a little bit. Really, yesterday was kind of getting into the hottest day. Today might be the hottest day of the year. We're not even close.
Yeah.
Looking at the 15-day forecast, I only saw one 90-degree day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, we're Cincinnati. It could change tomorrow.
It can.
It definitely can. So why is it a good time to plant? Well, you're still going to get great root development.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely great root development. You know, the plants want to grow, they want to get in the ground, and they want to get established.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that. So the roots are going to do what they need to do. Also, on a lot of things, there will be sometimes a second round of growth. So occasionally, you know, you move a maple or something at this point, and they get happy, and they find the right spot, you might get a little bit more growth, but you're definitely going to get some trunk growth on that. So it's already going to be a more mature tree.
Okay.
So it's going to help develop. Even if it goes through winter, it's going to be a little bit more established than possibly if you planted in the fall.
Sure.
Now, fall's still a great time to plant, don't get me wrong. But so those are definitely still some advantages. But the other thing is, if you walk out and you go to the garden centers, there is a great selection out there.
Mm-hmm.
Things... We don't, independent garden centers don't want everything picked through.
Sure.
And then selling you plants that aren't as nice.
Here's what's left.
We'll move those leftovers out later.
Yeah.
You know, if there's anything like plants at our garden center, and I know the other guys do it too, if there's something that doesn't look as nice, it goes back in the back.
Sure.
Not to be sold. Let it sit there. It needs to, you know, fertilize, trimmed, let it reflush, and then it would come back out and be a great plant.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to bring in new stuff. So it's just June. We realize there's weddings to be ready for. There's graduations to be ready for. There's parties for the summer to be ready for.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million things going on.
Right.
So we want to make sure we have great selection of plants in order for you to do that. So when you do plant something, and we talked a little bit about watering, how do we go about doing it, and how do we know what the difference is compared to spring?
Right.
Because if you planted anything this spring, you probably didn't do much watering.
No, you didn't need to.
No.
Mother Nature provided that.
Basement this spring didn't need watering, but it got it, unfortunately, because my sump pump broke.
Oh,
and I didn't have that back up the way I should. So that's something on my to-do list later on this summer. Mm-hmm. So let's just say we go to the garden center and we buy a Japanese maple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or we buy even a load of plants. We buy 3 boxwoods, a Japanese maple, some butterfly weed, some creeping phlox, which is Ernie's favorite.
One of my favorites. I've always loved it.
Yeah. Always been one of your favorites. As long as I've known you, it's been one of your favorites.
Yep.
So we buy a grouping of plants. We'll have to water them a little differently. It's a little warmer. Mm-hmm. So what you may do is you're going to water twice a week as opposed to once a week. And I know I've talked about this before, and you've heard this many times because Tony said the same thing. When you water, especially this time of year, it's always better to water a lot heavier,
mm-hmm.
but less often.
Give them a good drink.
Give them a good, healthy drink, but don't do it every day.
Yeah. How long do you gauge that by, or do you just say, okay, I watered it 2 days ago, check it?
Check it was great. That's the best thing you said. But the answer is it does depend a little bit on how hot it's been.
Right.
I think today the humidity is going to be a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could make a difference on how things dry out. It also depends on where it's planted. Is it planted in an area where the water runs off?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running your water and you've got a little trickle out of your hose soaking the root ball, but it runs downhill, yes, you're going to have to run a little longer because a lot of the water might get wasted.
Sure.
So a lot of it depends on the plant and the type and also how large it is. So if you're going to plant a large, say, a 3-inch tree, which is a big tree, maybe 12 to 15 feet,
mm-hmm.
it's going to require a lot longer watering than something that's a phlox. Now, how you gauge that depends on one way I like to really do it is I like to put a mulch ring circle,
mm-hmm.
take a spade, and cut an edge. So you've seen, everybody has them, really clean lines all around their grass. Well, they've taken a spade or a machine, but usually a spade or a shovel, and they cut an edge. And if you start turn your water on and you start watering, that edge will fill up. Then you know the water soaked down through that original root hole that you the hole that you dug to put the root ball in. But it also fills that trough up all the way around, and you'll go, I can see it's soaked, so it's pretty wet. Go to the next one. That's an easy way with trees.
Yeah.
With shrubs, a lot of it's common sense. You know, the bigger the shrub, the more it needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a garden phlox will be really little root ball.
Sure.
It might take 30 seconds, maybe a pressure with a wand or something along those lines. But on a boxwood or a juniper or a spirea, it might take 3 or 4 minutes. But the key is also to amend the soil when we plant in the summer. Mm-hmm. A lot of people still try to avoid this at any time.
Sure.
But this is important. And I know we've heard Tony, because I've been driving in my car, and I bet you Tony mentions this at least once a show.
Yeah.
Soil amendment. And this time of year, add some compost, add some peat. Those are the things that are going to hold moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very important. And it just makes it easier for the plant to adapt, no matter how hot it gets.
Gotcha. You know, that's probably the most important thing we try to express to our listeners, too, is to make sure you know what kind of soil you have. And you just can't, as much as you'd like to be able to put a spade in the ground and then put a plant in it and walk away, you just can't do that.
You can't. You can't dig a hole, stuff the root ball in there, jump on it, slam it into the hole, and then walk away and go, this plant's going to do well.
Honey, I'm done.
I'm good.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery with us. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we're going to finish up this segment and talk about mulching, a little bit more on watering, and fertilization.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Bob from Bard's Nursery is in for Tony today, and we're covering a lot of ground. I want to remind you again to take a second, jump onto our Facebook page. It's a great way to post pictures, pose questions, and stay connected with us. We've been talking a little bit about planting and watering and staying on top of your game.
Yeah, I mean, today it's such a great time to plant. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten so many questions of why, I can't plant. I know I can't do it anymore. And there's no reason not to. I mean, there's no reason not. If you have got some landscaping that you need done, go ahead and do it. I mean, we plant year round. I mean, if it's 100 degrees and you water properly, you can plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Right.
There might be a couple issues with a few things. Once again, about moving plants.
Right.
You know, we're getting real late for that. You know, but as far as taking a fresh plant from a garden center that's in a pot or in a cage or in a burlap sack, if it's already dug up out of the ground and it's been that way since spring, it's fine.
Right.
Go ahead and take care of it. But remember, there's some important things. We already talked about soil amendment. You got to use soil amendment. I bring it up again because it's one of the most important parts of planting.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done.
Is there a formula for that? Like X amount of peat and X amount of compost?
It really isn't, you know, 40%, 50%.
Right.
Just make sure you get some in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got a, it's a little common sense. I mean, there, technically, yes, there is probably some sort of formula, but most of the time I just tell people if you got a 1 or 2 gallon, throw a shovel full in there.
Yeah.
You got a 3 or 4 gallon, throw a couple shovelfuls in there.
Okay.
You have any doubt? You can't, if you do it properly and you kind of mix it and it really is no more than maybe 50-50 with some of the clay and some of the existing soil,
mm-hmm.
you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, if all of a sudden you dig a hole 3 feet wide for a 1 foot wide plant and then you throw in nothing but soil amendment that holds moisture, you're going to have a few issues. So the key is mix it in with it.
Yeah.
You know, don't just throw it in 100%. So 50-50, I think if you go with that, you're going to be in great shape. And it doesn't matter much whether it's peat. I know Tony loves peat moss. That's his big one. I love the compost cow manure. I just love that. I think that's a big benefit. I remember as a kid, Grandpa used to get it by the truckload at the nursery. And my job when I was 10 years old was to come in after school, get a 5 gallon bucket and hand shovel it into old mulch bags. It was not fun.
Oh, I bet.
Now it's sterilized and weed free. Got a little peat mixed with it. It's really nice stuff. But I had it the hard way. So.
Back in the day.
And, you know, when the guys at the store sometimes say, oh, man, I'm like, let me tell you, I don't want to hear it. I've done that.
Yeah.
And I've done it the hard way. Let me get you a scoop of that stuff. So, but after you get everything planted, we've mentioned some watering. But the step before that is we still got to do proper mulching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about it doesn't matter whether it's pine needles, whether it's pine straw, whether it's pine nuggets, cypress mulch, hardwood mulches, you know, the dyed mulches. I know Tony doesn't like those quite as much. I tend to like them. You know, as long as you're mulching properly, I think it's all about the depth of the mulch.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter much what you use as long as you're using something.
And what's the appropriate depth?
About 2 inches on most mulches.
Okay.
You know, your 1 to 3 will be what everybody says. I like 2. Somewhere, get close. Don't have more than 3. If you have more than 3, you're just inviting problems.
Yeah.
And there's no need. You're wasting money.
Sure.
Pine straw is going to be a little fuller when you put it down because it's fluffy.
Right.
And I think you've used some pine straw.
Yeah, up on the hill.
Know? So you know it's fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it compacts as well.
Sure.
So you put that a little bit thicker. That might even be up to 5 to 6 inches because there's a lot of air in there. So a lot of space. And as it compresses, it'll kind of go down to that 2-inch mark. But you gotta put mulch in.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, why do we mulch? We mulch because it holds moisture in, keeps weeds out, and it will keep you from watering every day.
Nice, yeah.
So that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
You know, the compost and peat moss is great for soil amendment, but don't be afraid to throw in a little fertilizer. You know, root stimulator is a good one. You can use any sort of 10-10-10, 12-12-12. I like a product called Start and Grow.
Okay.
I think it's a wonderful one.
What do you like about that?
What I like about it is it feeds for 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
So if you're buying some fertilizers and you're going to your local garden center, there's on a lot of trees and shrubs, it's an easy way to just be general. And it'll just be a simple way to take care of everything. You feed it and you go walk away. And we all love low maintenance.
Love that.
I mean, we've heard it on this show. Low maintenance siding. Low maintenance air conditioning. Low maintenance flooring.
Yeah.
Low maintenance, you know, everything is, we want it easy.
Sure.
And I don't blame them. I'm the same way. So this is one that I like. But there's a lot out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, so don't be afraid to do that. And then finally, trimming. This is a great time to start cleaning and doing some trimming.
Okay.
And even on some of your new shrubs, you go to the garden center, maybe they've grown a little bit and they've stretched. There's occasionally things get by our garden center where we just don't get everything trimmed in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just can't get to everything because we're busy.
Right.
So it's not a bad time if you have a new plant.
No.
Go ahead and give it a haircut.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today, and we're covering a lot of ground talking about planting. It's still plenty of time to plant. It's still a great time to get to your garden center. When we come back, we're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about some more fertilizing because those roses, they need it again.
Oh, I'm glad you brought those roses up. We have a question from my wife. I'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And before we went into the break, we were talking a little bit about roses. And I did have a question for you. We've got one that we don't really want to have to do this, but it needs to be moved.
Oh, okay.
And it's a climber.
Okay.
We're looking for some advice there.
Yeah. You know, this is not the best time to be moving, but you don't have a choice, it sounds like.
No.
So since we don't have a choice, we're going to take our chances. How long has the rose been in?
My best guess would be about 4 years, maybe
about
5 years.
Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah. That helps.
Okay.
You know, something like if you move something, usually within the first year, success is almost 100%.
Okay.
It does drop from year to year. As it goes to year two, it might drop another 5% and so on. By the time you get to year five, success starts dropping a little bit depending on the plant.
Okay.
You know, some things are a little easier. So roses are a little tougher because they typically don't have a large, vast root system.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure we don't cut it too short.
Okay.
So best advice I can give any listener who's trying to move something right now because they don't have a choice. First thing you do is try to make sure there's moisture around the roots.
Okay.
You know, dry dirt falls apart when you pull it out of the ground and when you move it. Moisture kind of cakes together.
Right.
Like it's when it's wet and it's on the bottom of your shoe and mud's on the shoe. It doesn't come off real easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the same thing. So you want to water the rose possibly tonight. Let's just say you're going to move tomorrow.
All right.
So let's go ahead and water the rose.
Okay.
And then we're going to want to get as much soil around that rose as possible.
All right. Okay, so big perimeter.
Yes, perimeter. Go around. You want to get as much root. You hope when you're digging, you're only digging soil.
Right. Right.
Okay, you're going to cut a few of the little roots, but we want to make sure that big main one is okay.
Okay.
I don't love doing this, but I'm going to recommend that you trim the rose back some. So how tall is it?
Maybe about 4 feet.
Okay.
You know?
So you're going to move this 4-foot rose and try to help it survive.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, you want to cut it back a little bit. So as it's drawing up moisture, it doesn't have to support the whole new plant.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah,
it does. You're going to lose blooms. Going to happen. You're
going
to lose some blooms.
Okay.
That's okay, but you have no choice. You want a healthy plant. You'd rather have it survive and bloom some and then bloom heavy next year.
Right.
So try to have your hole where it's going pre-dug.
Okay.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Really hot, when you dig the new one out of the ground and you're taking it to the new place, dig the old one out, take it to the new place, before you bury it and you add your soil amendment, I like to actually water the hole. Put water in the hole right around the root ball itself. So you've got the space between the root ball and the existing soil where you made it a little wider.
Yeah.
Fill that with water.
Okay.
That'll actually really soak those roots really well. Kind of like you might give it 10 minutes or so, however long it needs to soak down, but then put your soil amendment we just talked about.
Yeah.
Put your peat moss around it or your compost manure.
Mm-hmm.
Take the soil that came out of that hole, fill it back in with what space is left. Planted at the same height that it was planted in the other hole.
Oh, okay. All right. So
you already have everything set. You got a top of the ground. Have it match.
Okay. Yeah.
And then put a light layer of mulch on it and then treat it like a brand new plant. Make sure you're watering once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little root stimulator or a little rose food wouldn't hurt.
Yep. Speaking of rose food, you were talking before we went in or when we were in the break about now's the time to kind of feed your roses or fertilize?
Well, if you look at a lot of your fertilizers, and it doesn't matter who it's from, a lot of your rose food that has the bug control in it is an 8 to 10 week, you're supposed to fertilize every 8 to 10 weeks. Says it right on the label on most of those products.
Okay.
So if you did that back in March or April, we're there. So you need to make sure that you get that product down and you're getting that bug control back into the leaves. It's very important because they're pretty good feeders, and they do require that systemic, which helps prevent the Japanese beetles, some of the rose slugs. So it's very important that you get that in. And make sure when you're fertilizing, follow the label. It's really important that you follow the label, and you follow it just the way it says. And this goes for all plants, not just the roses, because there are some other things that are a little bit heavier feeders, and we need to make sure that we're feeding those properly. But we are close for most people at that 8 to 10 week mark on those roses.
Okay.
So it's very important that you follow that and most people at this point need to do it again.
Okay. Bob, we have Joe from Fairfax on the line, and he has a question. We mentioned earlier in the show about how much rain we had, and that some of the fertilizing product we may have put down could have washed out. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, Ernie, how's it going?
I'm doing great.
Good morning, Joe.
We've got Bob on the line. Bob, go ahead and what's your question?
Good. How are you doing today, buddy?
All right, Bob. You guys got a great show going on.
Thank you.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Ernie, you and
Tony.
You and Tony, thank you. We're talking last week about the Fertilin three-step process and how it's been so wet, and we need to maybe think about maybe reapplying the first step again.
Okay.
I did all that, and the lawn was, you know, is looking great. But after about 6 weeks, I got about 4 or 5 bare spots that I went ahead and seeded.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, you know, it's starting to pop up now. If I reapply that Fertilin first step, is it going to mess with my grass that's now coming up?
It can.
You know, in those bare spots?
It can. Any of the grass seed that has not established yet, it can prevent that from coming up.
Yeah,
typically, once you mow your grass one time, so it comes up and it's actually mowable, then you're safe to put down another application of pre-emergent.
Okay. Now, can I just, I know you use a spreader when you do it, but like around those, like I said, about 4 or 5 small spots, could I just maybe put some gloves on and maybe spread it just ever so gently around that area so I don't get it on the seeded area?
As long as you're not on top of it, that's usually fine. If you have a couple of big pieces of cardboard, you don't want to leave it on the lawn while the sun's out, but if you put it down, cover the bare spots, put fertilizer down, make sure that the pre-emergent doesn't hit those bare spots, you should be fine.
Oh, that's a good idea with the cardboard. I never thought about that. Yeah.
Another option that you can do is just do a straight fertilizer that is good for new seed and existing lawns. Forget the weed control and maybe do a liquid weed spray if you have a lot of weeds later on by using, you know, any of the 2,4-D products or anything that'll kill the clovers or dandelions. So that's another option that you could do if you want it to.
It's looking real good, but just those guys were talking about it yesterday, and I got about a half a bag left, and I'm like, maybe I'll think about maybe reapplying it because we have had a lot of rain.
We've had a lot of rain. I will tell you, I put 2 applications down myself. Now, I did mine a little bit earlier than this. We are getting a little late for that last step, or for that extra step, but if you want to do it, and I have done it before, the only thing you got to make sure is on a hot day, you irrigate.
You got to water it. Is it kind of too hot? If I go home today after work, you know, if I go ahead and spread it out, is it too hot right now? I don't want to burn the lawn up.
It's pretty moist. As long as there's moisture in the ground and as long as you water that thoroughly, you should be fine. If you just put it down on the lawn and you do nothing, one, you're probably not going to get any benefit whatsoever because you have to irrigate.
But I watered pretty good last night, but it was needing it pretty good. And I figured I always flip you guys on about 6 o'clock. I usually work about a half day on Saturday. And you guys help pass the time on Saturday all the time.
Well, that's good. But yeah. Just make sure you irrigate. We're getting late in the season. I will tell you, I fertilized this late before. I always have parties around the 4th of July. It's a big day for me to have people over to the house. And I always want my lawn looking good for that day. After that, I don't care quite as much. But at least for that day. So I have done it. But make sure you irrigate. So anybody out there, you got to irrigate.
Okay, so like if I get off today, I just cut my lawn last night. And I watered real good. If I go home tonight and spread that process again, the Fertilin, and then go ahead and water it in right away?
Yeah, I would. I'd go ahead and do it, yeah.
All right, I just didn't know if that would, like, you know, lessen the potency of it right away, if it was better just to let it sit on the lawn.
No, you want to get that. If you're going to prevent weeds, you got to get that activated. That's how that works. And I'm always a big fan of getting it watered in. That's why whenever I put my spring step down, I'm trying to time the rain. So I can get it down and it starts to activate. I mean, if we get a 3-inch rain in a 30-minute, you know, it could wash that off.
Right.
Chance you take, and I would take it.
And lately it's kind of hard to predict the rain, just like last weekend. They were talking about rain, you know, forever, and we didn't get hardly anything.
Yeah, and the same holds true for this weekend, too. They thought it was going to rain to beat the band, and they moved back to maybe a possible slight Sunday.
I'm kind of glad we're just going to head to that big yard sale over there at Turfway. All right, so it looks like we'll be able to do that, too.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Well, thank you for the call.
guys, love the show, man. Bob, nice meeting you.
Thanks a lot.
Talk Take it easy.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery with us, and we need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
I am going to have the three plants of the week.
Ooh.
So we're going to have the first plant of the week.
Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in with us. And Bob, before we get back into our conversation, we got a Facebook post from someone, I think from out in Amelia.
Out our way.
Yeah. And Connie. And let me see where it might have gone. There it is. She's happy that you're, Connie Compton is her name. And she is happy that you're subbing for Tony today, but she wanted to send us some information about a garden club forming in Amelia. And the first meeting is going to be June the 21st and another one on the 24th, organizational meetings. And we have taken that information and posted it on our In and Around the House Facebook page. So if you live out in Amelia.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I work with a lot of people who come in the garden center,
mm-hmm.
who are part of some garden clubs.
Yeah.
And I think this generation a little bit is missing the boat on how, one, it's fun, get to meet a lot of new people, get mm-hmm. to talk about, you know, meet different generations who've done different things. And I've been to a few of these meetings for some of these other garden clubs. They've invited me over and maybe, you know, do a small talk. And
sure.
It's a wonderful way to share information.
Yep. Socialize.
Socialize. You know. Have a good time. If you love gardening and you love being a part, you know, this is great that one's forming in Amelia. Mm-hmm. I did hear a little bit of something. I think I had left the store yesterday when she had stopped in and maybe said, hey, you know, had any thoughts or anything. And, you know, I know local garden centers, we're part of the community.
Sure.
I mean, we always talk about being part of the community, and we want you to be a part of our community and be the part of the family. These are some of the things that we mean.
Yeah.
It's not just come buy stuff from us. We want your money.
Yeah.
You know, we do. Trust me.
Yeah, bring me
all your money. But we really, I mean, this is part of it. It's uh-huh. sharing the information. It's helping people, you know. And I think this is the benefit of a small business garden center.
I agree.
This is why we are all here. This is why we shop small business. This is why I shop other small business. Mm-hmm. Not just because I own gardens. I do it because it's great for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and these little outreaches like this that she wants to do is wonderful.
Yeah, and just like over in Villa Hills, we have Martha Lang and the Villa Hills Garden Club. They've adopted some of those islands in the city that where street
yep.
meets, and they make them beautiful and do their own little plant sale. And
there's some wonderful ladies out in New Richmond. If anybody's been down along the river, there's a small park, and some of the ladies who do the New Richmond, I don't know if they call it the New Richmond Garden Club,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they've done an amazing job with some of the parks right along the river,
right.
getting hanging baskets and flowers, and they put a lot of work into it that a lot of people just overlook.
Sure.
You yeah. know, and it's
take
wonderful.
For granted.
Take for granted yeah. that somebody else is going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a wonderful job, and I've been honored to work with them.
Sure.
And you know, a lot of us gardens, we'll meet you if you need help designing some things. I've helped different townships and different garden clubs
yeah.
and, you know, different clubs with some of those things. We want to help. We mm-hmm. want to be a part of the community.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in with us, and all that information about the Amelia Garden Club, which is forming, is on our In and Around the House Facebook page. And what is our, you had three different plants
of the hour.
I like that.
We'll
plant of the hour.
Hey, with Tony not here, I figure we can kind of do what we want a
yes,
little bit.
Yes, we can.
We don't need him.
Yeah,
so
well,
we're going to do it. We're going to do it our way.
Okay.
So I'm going back to an oldie but a goodie.
Okay.
It has been around for a while. The color is starting to show. It's one a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
It gets about 3 feet tall, about 3 feet wide. Beautiful pink flowers, covers the whole bush with little tiny pink flowers all around. Varieties also come in white that are a little bit bigger, but the one specifically I'm talking about is called the Little Princess Spirea.
Oh, okay.
So it's been around. It's a light green foliage, mm-hmm. nice pink flower, very drought tolerant, very hardy. Occasionally you can get a little winter dieback. You give it a heavy cut.
Okay.
And it flushes back out.
Nice.
It will bloom sometimes twice a year. It will actually give you, if it's if if it blooms the first time and you give it a really good haircut, you'll get a second round of growth and it will bloom again. And it's just a nice added feature to the garden. It does lose its leaves. It's a deciduous shrub, but it's very tough, very durable, very drought tolerant. It also has a couple brothers and sisters with some golden spireas and some spireas that flower white. But specifically, the Little Princess is the honorable plant of the hour.
I love that. You had me with the pink blooms. That's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, I heard that's your favorite color.
It is. It is. Bob, we have Erica on the line. She has a question for you about container gardening. You having some problems, Erica?
Yeah, we built some custom boxes, but we have some other pots, and we feel like we had some great initial growth. We use manure compost in our pots, and right now they're just kind of stifling. And on our tomato plants, the leaves are kind of turning on the bottom of one plant, turning yellow, and there are brown spots on them. And so we're just hoping that we get some good growth from our container garden this year.
Sure, and it's been awfully wet, and sometimes those compost manures will specifically hold a lot more moisture. So how well are the pots draining? Are they pretty wet soil, or is it drying out pretty quickly?
It's drying out very quickly.
Okay.
I feel like I have to water them every day because by the next day it's already dried out.
Okay, how large are the containers themselves?
Well, the box that the tomatoes are in is 19 inches by 20 inches square.
Okay.
And then we have some really large, and there's two tomato plants in that box.
Okay. And when you water, how often and how long are you watering?
I water in the morning only, and I water until water's coming out the bottom.
Okay. When you when you get a chance, I want you to get out. I want you to feel the soil.
Okay.
After you water, maybe wait an hour or two, go out and feel the soil again, and then wait 3 or 4 hours and go out again. Let's find out how well that soil is actually absorbing the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if things get really dry on you and then you start to water, it'll get to the bottom of the pot very quickly, very rapidly, and you actually aren't getting quite enough water on it.
Okay.
Now, also, sometimes plants can look like they're drying out in containers when they're actually staying too wet. So
okay.
We don't know that answer yet, and that's a tough one for me to answer over the phone, but these are two things that you need to check, and generally, one of these two issues is the problem.
Okay.
Okay. It's possible you could have, a bug or something it could be causing some issues, so, maybe take a picture of it, something up close, a little bit further back, run it to your local garden center, let them look at it, but I would definitely check for moisture. It sure sounds like that's what it possibly could be at this point. So you, when you planted it, you got pretty good growth to start with, and then it's kind of slowly withered.
It's still growing. It's just not as fast as it, when we first put it in, it just started really growing. We had four peppers within 3 weeks.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now
okay.
The peppers are really kind of just staying in that small stage, and they're not getting any bigger. And
I'm thinking there's something to do with more moisture here. It's not 100%, but that's where I think I would start first. The other thing you can use that I know Tony loves is that Garden Tone from Espoma. Absolutely loves it. So if the moisture is proper and you feel like it's not drying out too quickly, but it's also not staying wet, if it's staying just moist and then drying out and then getting moist when you water and then drying out a little bit, then I would probably throw a little Garden Tone on there and see if we can kind of get that growing just a little bit.
Awesome.
And good luck with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, please take some pictures, Erica, and post them on our Facebook page. We'd love to follow along with your progress.
Awesome, we will. Thank you.
Thanks, Erica. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery with us. We need to pause when we come back.
We are going to touch base with what we just talked about as far as too wet of plants or garden or containers.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And Erica brought up a good point. We were just talking to her on the phone about some things that just seem to either get watered too much or drain too quickly. And there's a difficult balance there.
And it is. And it was something I want to talk about later in the show. But since she brought it up, we need to talk about it now.
Yeah.
Because I personally have just ruined some wave petunia baskets. And this is coming from a guy who should know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I really should. But I had some petunia baskets, and I had them in the backyard, full sun, beautiful purple flowers, loved them. And between my wife and I both trying to care for everything, we were overwatering. And it looked like we were letting them dry out. And so the plants looked like they needed more water. So
right.
I would water in the morning, and then my wife would look at it and go, ooh. And so she watered a little bit, mm-hmm. and she is amazing with flowers now. But back when we were doing this, she was an accountant.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she didn't know what she was doing necessarily sure. right or wrong. She was kind of just like everybody else.
Right.
And so I kept even looking at them, the experts supposedly,
yeah,
whatever that's worth.
I know.
But I was the one still watering, and I was overwatering, and they kept getting worse, and they kept getting worse, and they kept getting, I mean, they were yeah. pathetic. It was terrible. I mean, you had about four blooms and a lot of just green stems.
Yeah.
And so I went, I think we're watering too much. It's full sun. So we cut everything way back.
Sure.
Big haircut.
Yeah.
And I quit watering every day. I went down to where I was only watering every 2 to 3 days. I was letting them dry out. By the end of summer, they were the best baskets I've ever had.
Oh, no kidding.
I was overwatering.
Mm-hmm.
And this is easy for everybody to do. You always heard, water your annuals, water your annuals.
Yeah.
They like to dry out a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's very important. One, got to know your soil content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd already mentioned that
yeah.
yourself, and
mm-hmm.
we talked about that outside, you know, in the lawn or in the existing soil. But even for your potting soil, sometimes you got to be careful. Some of those soils are richer than others. You know, and when you just go get potting soil and you don't know what's in it,
right.
it can make a difference. Even
right.
some of the compost manures. So that's where getting to the independent garden centers that you hear advertising on the show, go see them.
Right.
They'll tell you what you need to use. And specifically, you know, I've heard Tony talk, I think it was called Happy Frog Soil.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I love the Golly Jarden or Jolly Gardener, if I could spit that out. And then also the old Fafford mix. You know, so you got to know your soil. And then she said it drained well, which
yeah.
was wonderful.
Yeah.
So she's doing all of that right. But this is when you got to just stick your finger in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 5 years old, I remember Grandpa saying, Bobby, the best thing you can do is feel the soil.
Right.
I mean, I'm learning from a guy who's been doing it 40 plus years.
Right.
And he's right. They don't need watered every day.
Sure.
Sometimes you just got to give them a good, healthy drink. Don't give them a little bit. A little bit of water every day is really bad for annuals.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy, heavy watering. This goes for your gardens. This goes for your plants. This goes for your trees. It's better to be heavy, heavy watering less often.
Gotcha.
More, it's better to do 10 gallons once a week than it is to do, you know, 1 gallon every day.
Yeah.
The math didn't add up. You can tell that's not my specialty. But the point is that I'm trying to make, if you're watering your plants every single day, that's not good. That's fine for lawns because lawns are only 2 to 3 inch deep root systems.
Mm-hmm.
So they dry out a lot faster. But your trees, your shrubs, and even your annuals, if you have a good potting soil, and you rip your annuals out at the end of the season, those roots should go all the way to the bottom of your pot.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because they should be healthy.
Right.
If you don't know and you can't tell, it's okay to take your pot, your hanging basket, be very gentle, and kind of flip it over a little bit, but have that hand underneath there and try to separate the pot so you can see what the roots look like. There should be a large amount of roots.
Okay.
It should be bright in color. They shouldn't be brown and wet and have an odor. It should be nice and healthy and strong. And if you look at a good plant and a bad plant, it's very easy for anyone to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be an expert to do this.
but
it's a lot
yeah.
about watering and then also about feeding, which we're going to talk about here as well for our annuals a little bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Bob from Barge Nursery in for Tony and covering a lot of ground today and talking about watering. And it's sort of a double-edged blade because we've had so much rainfall, but we still have to remind you there are some of your plants in your beds and in your pots that either didn't get enough or are getting too much.
And great point.
You know,
how many times have we talked about planting too close to the house?
Well, yeah.
if you have a big eave hanging over the top of your plant, the rain may be coming from the west. They're facing east, and as the rain comes, it's blowing over and missing.
Right, right.
You know, but also plants now have been used to a little moisture. So if we go a week without some water, they might want to drink.
Yeah.
Especially if they're a newer plant, you know, within the last 3 to 4 years. Plants that are a little older adapt usually a little bit easier, and they don't need it quite as often.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes with your big spruce trees, you know, they're shaped like a comb.
Mm-hmm.
When it rains, some of that water is pushed to the outside edges. Well, those roots may not be underneath there, out further than those outside edges, especially if it's a newer plant. So it may not be real wet underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has it rained? You're walking through the woods, and you're not getting wet.
Yeah, that's a real good point. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard Nursery with us. We need to pause for a moment when we come back.
We are going to talk about weed control in our beds and our lawns.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And before we get to Mike, I wanted to say hi to my friends Rob and Patty, who are listening on their way to Indy to watch their grandson play some ball. And we were talking in the break about my grandsons and your kids and how...
I love baseball.
I know
so
you do.
I hope they enjoy it. The weather even out there looks like it's going to be great. You know, I got back this week to my team, my 16-year-old boys, the Northern Kentucky Wildcats.
Yoo-hoo.
And I've been coaching the Wildcats. This is my 11th year of coaching that team. And some boys have gone. You know, we're 16 years old. Some have gone. Some have come back. Some have quit baseball. But there's still nothing quite like last night we were playing. We had a 6 o'clock game. It was perfect.
Yeah.
We were playing up at the Westchester Baseball Complex. And there are people, I'm sure, that have played. They got artificial turf.
Yep.
It was a wonderful facility. It was just absolutely wonderful to play ball.
Isn't it great?
And I know there's a lot of ball going on. There's big volleyball tournaments going on people are traveling to. There's huge soccer tournaments this weekend that are going for people to get to the state cups and president cups and all this cups that there are. And I don't know soccer that much, but my friends are going to the, you know, enjoy it.
Yep.
You and I were talking about how you got to soak all this up. Time flies. Everybody knows it's listening right now. I mean, I can't believe it's June 3rd.
And it's going to be 86 today.
Well, that's great. Bring it on. I like the heat.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's just, it's a great, this is why we love Cincinnati.
Right.
These are the days we love Cincinnati.
Bob, we have Mike on the line. Mike, you bought a house, a lake house down in Williamstown?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And you have a neglected lawn? Is that your issue?
Very much so. Place has been, nobody living in it for at least 7 or 8 years, so I've got a little bit of volunteering of lots of weeds. There is some grass, so I've started with just rounding up poison ivy and a lot of stuff, but as I've worked through it more, there is some grass in there, and I've taken a long-term approach, so I'm not in a hurry to get it perfect, but I'm looking for the best way to maybe kill off what's bad and save what's good and not start over.
Well, first of all, let me just say 100% you got the best attitude you can possibly have for it.
Yep.
Good.
Lawns are not a quick fix. They're just not if you're really trying to redo them properly. I know we can put sod down and that's instant. We can grass seed and get lawn this time of year growing in 7 to 10 days. But lawns take a little bit of work, and if you put that TLC into it, which it sounds like you're willing to do, we can kind of help steer you and get you going in the right direction. So let me ask a couple questions here first. So you said there is some grass in there and there are some weeds. What percentage is weeds? What percentage is grass?
Oh, I'd say there's probably 70% weeds and 30% grass.
Okay, that's not really what I wanted to hear, but thanks for telling the truth. So we appreciate that because that's how we fix things. All right, so we're into the time of year where it's not necessarily the best time to start working on the lawn. However, we need to start getting prepared. So how big of an area, how large is the lawn?
It's a pie-shaped lot with 100 feet at the water.
Okay, so you think maybe an acre or two? Nope.
Did we lose you, Mike?
Well, we may have lost Mike. Yeah. But you know what? Let's answer his question anyway.
Okay.
So, because I'm sure this is something a lot of people want to know. So this is June, and it's starting to warm up. So What we don't want to do, and especially on a large lot, is try to kill all the weeds and actually try to get grass to grow on big areas, because that's going to be hard to irrigate.
Right.
It really is. If you've got a small lot or you're working just maybe in a front yard that's fairly easy to irrigate, you can go ahead and do this. I've done a lawn June 27th at my own house personally, mm-hmm. and July 17th. Now you go, how do you remember those dates? But they were work, so they were specific dates that we bought the new house and we moved into the second one, and I had to have a lawn.
Yeah.
They specifically required us have a lawn.
Right.
So I knew that it wasn't the best time to seed, but I did it because that's what we required. So mm-hmm. what he probably wants to do is maybe start working on specific spots if he can't irrigate the whole thing.
Mike, did we get you back? No, we seem to have lost the contact with him.
So first thing you can do, if you have a weed issue, he said 30-70.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think I would continue to mow the grass, keep the weeds down,
mm-hmm.
maybe work on a couple spots here and there, and don't try to fix it all at once. Spray some of the weeds with some of your lawn weed killers, mm-hmm. and they will be what we call post-emergence. Those are things you spray on top, kill weeds. They absorb through the foliage, go down into the roots, and then kill the weed specifically.
Right, right.
So, you know, those are something we would want to start with. As we get those areas, there might be more grass underneath there than he thinks. There's no doubt about it. So once we kill the weeds, then we need to make sure we kind of rough the soil up. Anywhere there's really bad bare spots, we want to add some grass seed. And then we also want to probably put down some sort of straw or peat moss and then start our watering.
We have Mike back.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry I lost you.
That's okay.
That's all right. Did you happen to catch any of what we talked about yet or not?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, let me kind of do a quick start over with you. Since you have a 30-70 mix, we really want to be careful this time of year about trying to replenish the whole yard. It sounds like it's a larger area, and it's not easy to irrigate. So we maybe want to, if we want to start working, I'll work in spots. So we may work in the front yard, or if it's something that's a small enough yard that you can do the whole thing, then you can do more. But sometimes working in small spots and then going to the next one would be the best way.
Okay.
Keep it mowed, obviously, at a higher height, because that's going to help prevent more weeds from germinating, hopefully get the grass to be a little healthier. But first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to kill some weeds.
Yep.
So you can use a post-emergent, which will kill the weed and not kill any grass that's in there. If it's only weeds, go ahead and spray with a total vegetation killer like Kills All or Roundup. Kill everything, lightly till, and then seed and straw. And then you're going to have to irrigate. And typically this time of year when you irrigate, you're going to have to water every day for a week, every other day for a week, every third day for a week, every fourth day. And I think you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So if you think you can take care of the whole lawn, you can go ahead and spray it. But what we don't want to do is kill all the weeds, and then we have a ton of bare spots, so you're still going to have a lot of weeds coming up again next year.
Right.
We'll want to attack that a little bit later on in the season, like start attacking a little bit before Labor Day by killing the weeds, so after Labor Day in September, we can reseed the whole lawn, because that's going to be the best time.
Okay. Okay.
And then, so,
all right. Good. Yep. I appreciate your help.
Well, we appreciate you calling back and appreciate you listening.
Take care. Have a good day, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Bye.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Bob, we have Jerry on the line from Taylor Mills. He's got a phlox question for you. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. So what kind of question do you have about phlox?
We got about a 20-foot retaining wall, and we got phlox way across the top of it, and they grow really good every year. But this year I noticed there's a lot of clover. Is there anything I can spray in there to get rid of the clover?
Well, there is a product called Post that can be sprayed over specific plants and kill just weeds, but not the plant. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to check and get back to you whether it kills clover and what kind of problems it would cause for the phlox. Typically, your best thing, and you're not going to like it, is to just get in there and pull them. If you can
do it for 3 weeks now.
Have you? And they're coming back probably, because if you pull them and you're not getting the root, they're breaking and they're probably multiplying.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get as much root as I can without pulling the phlox out, because they've been in there for like 20 years.
You know, you might want to run down and see See, Tony, he's probably the closest there at Jackson Florist.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And he'll want to check, or somebody down there will want to check that label and see if it'll work for that. Because I know it's for grassy weeds. I'm not sure if it covers clover. But they do make a product that can be sprayed over some plants that'll kill the grassy weeds and not kill the plant. But we'd have to double check that label. I'm not 100%
right.
sure. But still, unfortunately, I think the best way is probably going to be keep pulling. And I know that's not a great answer, but I think that's the proper answer.
That'll make a fun summer.
No, it won't, but I get it. I mean, right now, for me, nut sedge is my biggest problem. I have that in my beds, and it is a pain in the neck. That's the grass that grows twice as fast as your regular lawn. I've got some in my mulch beds mm-hmm. and in my lawn already,
yeah.
and it's not fun.
Right.
It's not fun, and I'm working at it, but yeah. Stop down, see Tony.
I'm putting something different in, but she won't show it.
Well, I mean, phlox are a beautiful plant when they're in bloom. There's not much better. There really isn't. And that clover, you know, I mean, for a lot of bee people, they're going to tell you to keep it and leave it in there because
yeah.
it's good for them. But I know you don't want it in there. So I think pulling it's probably the best. You can check that label for the post product. I'm not sure it's going to work. But, you know, if you don't have any luck down there, give me a call at the store and I'll check it and see what we can do for you.
Yeah, she buys everything down there, pretty much everything down there.
Yeah, I mean, really knowledgeable people.
Home Depot, man.
Yeah, I mean, Tony's out on secret assignment, so I don't know if he's down there, but I know down at the Garden Center itself, they've got people that can help.
Well, I'm sure if you go to Turfway, you can find
him. All right.
Hey, you
thanks,
have a
Jerry.
Great day.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
See
you. Bye-bye. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in with us. We do have to pause, and Bob, when we come back, we have Melissa on the line who has a rose question for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And Bob, we have Melissa on the line who's got an issue with her roses. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for hanging on.
Yes.
So what is your question about your roses?
They've got like holes all in them, and they get these little brown spots on them, and then they got holes all in them. I was looking to see, like, if there was bugs on them or something doing it, but I don't see none.
Yeah, you probably got a couple issues going on there, probably some multiple things. One, you probably had some rose slug damage. You know, those are things Tony's talked about before where the systemic drenches, and I mentioned earlier in the show some of the rose fertilizers have that bug control in there that'll help control that. You're probably seeing some of that. You're also seeing some issues on the leaves with little spots just because we've had so much moisture. You're going to see a little bit of leaf blotch, and you're going to see a few things like that, little black spot on the roses. You know, if it's real bad, get a picture, take it to whoever your local independent garden center is, let them check it, but you might want to get a fungicide on that. Are you feeding those roses at all with fertilizer?
No.
I would definitely get a rose food with systemic. There's multiple brands out there, and I would start that. That's the first thing. That'll help with some of your bug control. It takes a little time for that to get up into the plant, but what you do is you'll follow the label. You'll put so much on that plant, water it in, and as it soaks down in, the roots will absorb the chemical and then take it up into the plant, which will kind of help protect that plant. And then the black spot, a lot of times if it's like a knockout rose or something along those lines that are resistant to that, it's not that big of a deal. But some of those old-fashioned roses, you might need a fungicide, and you might actually have to go ahead and spray and can try to keep that fungus in check and at bay.
Okay.
So you've got a couple issues there. How long's the plant been in? Has it been in a while?
Yeah, all of them have. At least 2 to 5 years.
Okay. I'd say a lot of your problem is just you got a slight little bug issue, and then all this rain. We're seeing some issues on some leaves. A lot of it's cosmetic and not going to kill the plant, but just take a picture or take a cutting. Get it to an independent garden center who's going to know what's going on closest to your area, and I'm sure they'll have no problem getting you fixed up, but I'll bet you it's one of those two things.
Okay. I thank you so much.
All right. You have a great day.
Thanks for the call.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in with us, and Bob, we have Jacob on the line. He's got a box of questions. Jacob, what part of town are you from?
I'm from Aurora, Indiana.
Okay, and are your grandparents' boxwood trees over in Indiana, too?
Huh?
Are the boxwoods over there, too, you're having issues with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boxwood Pyramid.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so that's probably the Green Mountain. What are they doing? Yeah.
They've got a lot of green, but in spots, it's spotty yellow all around it. It doesn't really get much sunlight, and it's the only thing in those beds, and the beds are probably about 10, 12 foot long.
Okay. There could be multiple things going on with that. We are seeing some issues with a bug called leaf miner. That is a bug that is actually inside the leaves that will eat the inside, and eventually you'll see yellowing, and then it turns brown, and then it dies off. A way to check that is to actually break open a leaf that is sort of discolored a little bit, but not completely brown, and you can almost peel it open in the middle like it's a shell, and you'll see these little limey color bugs crawling around. When I was on the show a couple years ago, I was at a lady's house. I brought an audio of leaf miners in a boxwood, and there were so many it sounded like Rice Krispies in milk. You could hear them eating. That may be the issue, it may not. You could also have just a little bit of winter damage. Maybe there was a little ice or something and it's gotten a little bit worse. There's two things definitely. Once again, if you can take a picture to a local garden center, they'll look at it. There's some multiple things that you can treat them with to try to help that. And then also, if you haven't fertilized them and they haven't had much care, it's probably just a little neglect. And with a little bit of fertilizing, a little bit of trimming, and a little bit of care, you can get those looking good again.
All right.
So thank you. It's not usually too hard to fix a boxwood. They're usually pretty easy.
I do have one more question.
Sure.
Sure.
I've got a azolla seed in their yard, and I was wanting to because they've got three properties, and I was wanting to transplant some of that azolla seed to another yard. Would that work?
Are you talking about like zoysia grass, like the lawn?
Yes.
Zoysia itself, a lot of times, most times, is actually like you buy it from someone. And a buddy of mine has done this where he bought plugs anyways. So what I recommend is, yes, you can move that. And what really works well with that is a bulb planter, ones you use in the fall to plant the bulbs, because it'll go very deep into the ground. You got to remember, zoysia stays green all summer because the root system is so deep and it's such a durable grass. So when you do that, you got to make sure you take pretty good size plugs and then put it in the, pull a plug out. Put the zoysia in. Now, remember, once you have zoysia... You always have zoysia, and it'll keep spreading.
My dad put it in probably 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's now covered their whole lawn, and their lawn's about an acre.
Probably don't have a single weed in that lawn, do you?
No. It's green all summer long, and it's yellow all winter long.
It is. Yeah. It once it goes brown, it's done for the season. It's not one we usually recommend around here, but... For those proper applications, it can work for people.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, when I place it in the other yard, should I water it times a week, do you think?
You want to keep it moist. You need to make sure. I would treat it like you would a sod yard. And on that, I water every day for a week, every other day for a week, every third day for a week, every fourth, and so on until you're going once a week. And it's a little bit of work. I love it that way, and when I recommend that to customers, success is very, very high.
All right,
Jacob, do us a favor. Take some pictures, post them on our Facebook page so we can follow along.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. 749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. We need to pause when we come back.
You know what? We're going to talk flowers.
Flowers. Or as my... Mom used to say, flowers.
Flowers.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And you know the old saying, April showers bring May flowers. But this year, April showers brought more May showers. And
we have June flowers.
Yeah, now we have June flowers.
You know, and this is the best way. Annuals.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff you plant every year, it dies off, and it comes back. These are the flowers we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the show has talked extensively about different types of flowers, but it's still a great time to plant.
It is.
We hammered it in the 6 o'clock hour. It's a great time to plant, and flowers are no different. They are ready. They are ready to get in the ground. Mm-hmm. Garden centers are there. They still have good selections. You may not have 100% selection, but there's still a lot out there of good quality flowers. The key with flowers is you got to know where they're going. You got to know the environment. You got to know if it's sun, if it's shade, if it's a mix, and then just plant accordingly. You may want a wave petunia, but you're in 100% shade. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. But there's just so much out there. You can find stuff that you like. And we've all heard Tony talk about thrillers, spillers, and fillers. You know, so don't be afraid. There's a lot out there. And, you know, just to touch base for those who maybe have gotten a late jump on a few things, you know, if you've got some of those sunny areas, do not forget, don't forget about Tony's favorite, which is the night sky petunia. It's the one with the purple with the white flakes. We have just about sold out of it. It is an absolutely gorgeous petunia. Now, occasionally with petunias, what's going to happen here soon, later on in the summers, they could sometimes get a little bit stringy. Some varieties don't, but some of the waves and others do. Don't be afraid to give them a little bit of a haircut. It's okay to trim your annuals. A lot of people think you can't do that. Go ahead and trim.
Oh, really?
It won't hurt them a bit. It's probably a little early right now. You shouldn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally things get a little stringy. If they get happy, if all of a sudden we've had all this rain and it gets hot, some things kind of stretch a little bit.
Huh.
You can take a pair of scissors. Doesn't have to be even perfect. Right. And kind of go in there and clip out. If you see anything brown, take it out. Get rid of it.
Oh, good
you know,
move.
The, yeah. Some of the other petunias that are great, don't be afraid to use them. The Black Magic, which is the black flower. I mean, it goes with any color. It's actually a black velvet look. It's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. You know, I really don't want to recommend yellow and black because that's Steeler color and that's Bengal people. But you know what? The yellow and black is gorgeous. Don't be afraid to mix some of those in. If you're really one of those people who don't know what flower to get because you're just a black thumb,
mm-hmm.
there's no green in it. It's not going to, you can't grow a dead plant.
I was going to ask you about people who say I've got a black thumb.
Yeah, you can't do anything. Stick with some of the easy ones that are drought tolerant. Stick with some of the traditional begonias. There's pinks, there's reds, there's green foliages, there's red foliages. You can do an unbelievable collage and mix all three colors.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be afraid to do that. Lantana is another one that's great. It has multiple colors. It comes in yellows, whites, a Dallas red, which has actually got some red, orange, and another color. It's just slipped my mind right now. But it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely gorgeous flower. I believe it's red, yellow, and orange all on the same flower.
That sounds awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're a pastel person, it comes in pinks, yellows, and almost white. Absolutely gorgeous. You know, there's some interesting things out there. You need to get out. Now's still a good time. Maybe you've planted all your flowers, but you maybe want to get some ideas even for next year, or you need another spot with some you need a few more annuals. There's some really neat different things out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, if you really want something a little taller and purple, is called Angelonia. Now, Angelonia is a tall flower, very drought tolerant, very easy. Union Township Civic Center out by us in Claremont County.
Mm-hmm.
I set their flowers up. Their guys plant them. They have sprinkler, but they get everything gets taken care of. They do an amazing job with their maintenance, but they have other things that are more important sometimes than their flowers right there. It's a durable one. We've been doing it for years, and if you drive by in the middle of July, it is absolutely stunning.
Still looks great.
There are things out there that are easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the misconception about annuals. They're like, oh my gosh, there's so much maintenance. You have to pick them, you have to trim them, you have to water them, you have to fertilize them. Yeah, there's some truth to some of that.
Yeah.
But growers have bred in so much into making it maintenance-free.
Nice.
That you can have some pretty easy stuff.
Yeah.
And there's gorgeous plants out there. I haven't even begun to touch the amount of plants that are out there.
Well, hold that thought. When we come back, we'll revisit that. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've got Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. B105's World Largest Garage Sale is coming up tomorrow at Turfway Park in Florence. Hundreds of garage sales all in one. Early bird admission from 7 to 8. $10, then it's only $5 until 1 o'clock. And make sure you get there early. But
it's going to be better than an all-you-can-eat buffet. Yeah.
But you don't want to get there as early as the poor guy that called us at 6:05 this morning from Turfway. When Bob sat down, the phone rang here, and I picked it up and answered it. And the gentleman on the other end of the line said, did this thing out of Turfway get canceled today? And I said, no, it's tomorrow.
Oh, no. Well, he made the trip.
He said,
I hope he was up there anyways.
That explains why there's no one here.
Yeah. Well, and the weather's going to be great today and tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
I mean, the weather's going to be absolutely fantastic. You need to get out and garden. Today is a great day to get out. We're going to get into the mid to upper 80s, but it's not till late in the day. So, right. You know, it is perfect outside. We are looking over downtown Cincinnati. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's going to be a great day. Get to your garden center. Get there early. Get your mulches. Yeah. Get your fertilizers. Get your pre-emergence. Whatever you need to work on your lawn, today's going to be a great day. If you are doing a little bit of weed spraying, you got plenty of time of drying time. It's going to dry before the rain possibly comes late tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that need to be done. But going back to following up on our last topic, we were talking annuals. I want to really talk about fertilizing annuals. Mm-hmm. They are junkies. They need to be fed. Okay. You know, they really need it. You know, probably worse than me with a cookie cake. I mean, they need it. You know, they really need to be fed. And there's a lot out there. So, you know, there's a lot of good information, mm-hmm. and there could be some bad information.
What do you like to use to feed them?
So there's multiple things. One of my personal favorites is called Jax.
Okay.
It's an old Peter's product. And Peter's product goes back to when I was a kid and I was stocking shelves when I couldn't reach the shelves mm-hmm. for Grandpa back in the day. So back in the good old days. But it breaks down. So there's a lot out there, but what I like about it most is they offer a different elements in each one. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit here in just a second, but it also breaks down easily. There are times where you've bought products before where you take the scoop and it's already rock hard mm-hmm. because it's been sitting on the shelf for years.
Lumped.
Yep. And you pour it in there and it doesn't break down. And then you go to pour it on your annuals and all of a sudden you get to the end and you hear this clunk, clunk. The water's out. And the fertilizer's still molded exactly the shape when you first put it in.
Right.
So Jax is really nice because it breaks down. Now, there's a lot out there. So you go to the local independent garden center. They'll steer you in the right direction. For example, I mentioned petunias earlier. Jax and other companies make a petunia feed. You know, it's going to maybe be a little higher first number, maybe a little lower second number. And it's really good because it gives them the proper nutrients. If you don't know what to get and you just got to get something and maybe the garden center is so busy that you just can't talk to anybody or you're going to go grab something and get out, just get you a general 20-20-20.
Okay.
And you'll see this on multiple types. It doesn't matter which brand.
Okay.
You know, as long as it's a good brand, you know, and you can almost squeeze the bottle sometimes and feel whether it's caked or whether it's actually a little bit softer and easy to work with. But a good 20-20-20 will be a good feeding for a general fertilizer for geraniums, begonias, even petunias. There's other things that are better, but it is good. If you got nothing, it's going to be great.
Right.
Now, how often should you do it? Every label's different, but most of them will tell you once a week. That's a lot of fertilizer. Yeah, we're used to you feed them once with the plants and you walk away.
So is that all summer long? You feed them
if
once
you read
a week?
The labels, a lot of times, if you want the healthiest blooms, you'll want to do it possibly once a week.
Yeah.
We do it once a week at our house. And you'll notice a difference. The stalks will be fuller.
Mm-hmm.
The blooms will be more vibrant. You'll have more abundance of blooms. It is a very important thing to do. It really is a good... It's kind of like us. You know, we need to eat. We need to be fed.
Yeah.
They're no different. Sure. They're living creatures. They're not creatures, but they're living things.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be fed.
Right.
It's very important. Now,
they need attention.
If you're really struggling and maybe they're not doing as well as they should, you might look into something. There's other products out there called Blooming and Rooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a really high second number. Now, the second number is going to control the root development. The first number controls what you see.
Okay.
So when you look at that label, you've seen 20-20-20.
Yeah.
The first number is going to control what you see.
Okay.
The second number is going to control what you don't see.
All right.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at that.
And it's not exact, but this really makes it easy to describe for people to understand. Uh-huh. But this is a lot of how it works. And this is what we want if you're really struggling with some of your hanging baskets or you're just not getting quite the blooms that you want. A stronger root system will give you a better plant. Okay. I mean, that's the same same as any tree. Yeah. If you got this gorgeous tree and no root system, it's not going to live very well. If you have a great root system and the tree's a little small, it's going to blossom into a gorgeous tree.
Gotcha.
So that's where maybe a blooming and rooting might be the answer. And then the other thing, and this is where you need the Independence Garden Center. This is when you need to go see Jim at Lakeview. This is when you need to go see Mike over at Holscher, you know, and some of these other guys we talk about. You need to go see them because sometimes you're going to want that acid food.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to want a general food. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell everybody on the radio, go get this.
Right.
Because certain things need certain elements. And also, believe it or not, our water is different from each part of the area of the city.
Boy, it surely is.
I mean, sometimes if you're at a friend's and you get tap water and you drink it, and then you drink yours, it might taste different. You know, and that's not necessarily a horrible thing,
right.
But it is. And like at the garden center where we are, every third feeding, I actually do use an acid fertilizer to try to balance the pH of the plants.
Okay.
Now, that's almost impossible unless you test your soil when you're watering, and that's very difficult. But your local garden center will probably know what you need.
Sure.
So, yeah, you might have to buy a 20-20-20 and then a petunia feed and then rotate them. But those are things that you just go, you're not going to find that at a box store.
But the results are going to be phenomenal.
Exactly. You're not going to find it just when you go in and you find the guy who is working hard at the box store but has no clue.
Yeah.
You got to go see somebody who loves plants.
Right.
They're plant nerds. I'm a plant nerd.
Yeah.
I'm a plant nerd. I love plants.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a weather nerd, too, because I watch the weather all the time.
Sure.
But, you know, it's very important to make sure you're feeding things properly.
749-B105 and then around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony. We need to pause for a moment when we come back.
We're going to talk about some ornamental grasses.
Ah, I love those. I'm looking for more. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Bob in from Bard's Nursery. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in, setting in for Tony today. And boy, I tell you what, we have really been covering a lot of ground, talking about our flowers and our plants and watering and
our bumper music. I have to compliment you on, I love the bumper music. I do. And people probably wonder what bumper music. That's where you lead in, lead out. At least that's what I call it. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right
term. That's what it's called. Yeah.
And I love it. You see me over here, I'm bebopping. I love it. You know, bring it on. I love it. And you play it all the way to the end, and I'm like, yes! Yeah. So I love it. But we were on the break before break. You said what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about ornamental grasses.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically one is going to be, because I had one for each hour, so I have about 52 seconds to get the plant of the week, or plant of the
plant
hour.
Of the hour in.
Plant of the hour. And it is an ornamental grass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that's Miscanthus sinensis morning light.
Okay.
Now, this is a grass that's going to be probably closer to 4 feet tall, somewhere in there. It could be closer to 3 to 5, somewhere in that area, typically about 4. Has a beautiful plume on it in the fall that's kind of more of a wheat-looking plume.
Okay.
Gets a nice pink color to it in the fall. It's a small, real narrow leaf that almost, it's variegated, but it's hard to tell until you get close to it. So from a distance, it's got kind of a whitish color green to it.
Yeah.
So it's very unique, very pretty, very durable. Also, if you're looking for a grass, because a lot of grasses flop.
Right.
You know, they're worse than some of the major league soccer players that don't get touched and just flop. You know, that's ridiculous.
They do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some ornamental grasses fall over, and I love zebra grass, but when it rains heavy, sometimes it falls over and needs to be tied up. There's another one we're going to talk about that does the same thing. But this is a really nice grass. It's related to the maiden grass that most people are common to see, which is the narrow green that comes up about 2 to 3 feet and then cascades over.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the more common ones. But the maiden grass, morning light maiden grass, is our plant of the hour. Now, with some of the other ornamental grasses, there's a lot out there. There's small ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's tall ones. There's really tall ones. The original one that really set it off for us here was called pampas grass. That was the monster. You know, huge blooms.
Right.
Can get 10 to 15 feet tall, keep spreading all over, you know, but that started it all off. And then all of a sudden we went grass crazy.
Sure.
And honestly, they really add a lot to the landscape. Because when we talk about landscape and a great design, we like to see movement. Mm-hmm. And that's where the ornamental grasses, especially in late summer and fall when the plumes come, really give you a lot of movement when the wind blows. And right. it's a beautiful addition to the landscape.
Well, let me ask you about maiden grass. You mentioned that one will spread. Will this maiden grass also spread?
The maiden grass and the morning light grass will multiply, not necessarily spread. When we think of spreaders, spreaders are something that you might have run, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet.
Right.
You know,
okay.
eventually, and they just get so big, you gotta really do something with them. And there are grasses that do that. But these are gonna stay clumped, but they do multiply and occasionally need to be thinned. Yeah. This is where the disadvantage of ornamental grasses comes in. Sometimes grasses get so big, and we've seen them at restaurants, golf mm-hmm. courses,
yeah.
at businesses, in your own yard. They get so big, you gotta dig them up and split them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no rule of thumb. It just depends on when you think they're too big.
Sure.
And you dig them up and you cut them in half or whatever you want to do and put a piece back in and donate the rest to somebody yep. else or to Rumpke.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of ornamental grasses out there. And some of them are very interesting. And it's definitely something people should take note of and maybe pay attention to.
Right.
If you're one of those people who need drought tolerant because you cannot water, you can't do anything, they're really a good option. Because they really add some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're out my way, out by Simon Kenton.
Yeah.
And, you know, Independence has some markers when you come up State Route 17.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some maiden grasses there that they planted really at the wrong time. If I remember correctly, it was late summer, which right. I'm thinking, oh, boy, yeah. there's no water. There's nothing out there to water. It's out by itself on 17. They are huge.
Really?
Very durable. Done great.
Yeah.
They can handle it. Now, if you got a wet spot, they're not going to do real well.
Okay.
So some other grasses, another one that I really like, it does flop a little bit, but I love the color. It is the Miscanthus sinensis variegatus, which means it's variegated. It's going to have a really wide blade. It's going to be white and green. It also gives you a beautiful plume in the fall. And it's going to be 4 to 6 foot tall, so it's slightly taller than some of the other ornamental grasses. But it's definitely one. It's a variegated leaf. You kind of mix it with some of the reds or you mix it with some of the golds, and it really stands out, and it's really a really nice grass. And there's a lot of other ornamental grasses out there that are interesting that give you plumes in the fall that might have a pink tint, might have a black tint. There's one that I love specifically called fountain grass, and it's a pedicetum, and it's called blackhead. And it's going to have kind of a black tint to the plume.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very pretty. It doesn't spread, but it falls out a little bit more. So it's going to be a little wider grass as opposed to some of them that come up and fall over.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes up and out at the same time, but it's a beautiful, beautiful plant.
Nice. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony. And Bob, we have Michelle on the line, and unfortunately, she's got some poison ivy.
Oh.
So what kind of issues you having, Michelle?
Well, I have a vine of it growing up the side of my house and up through by my deck, and I see it around different places in my yard, and I just want to know, how can I get rid of this?
Well, the vine, remember, the oil's all over the plant. So when you get it on yourself, if you happen to rub up against it, if you go in immediately and get some dishwashing detergent that takes oils away and you wash up really quick, you can probably prevent yourself from getting it, or you'll definitely lessen the problem that you're going to have from it. So if you get it on it, that's the first thing, on yourself, go do that. For the big okay. vine, the best thing you can do is go ahead and get close to the base and actually cut about a 6-inch section out. So it cannot take any more nutrients up through the plant. So where it's vining up the house and it's vining on the deck, before you start ripping it all apart, I would go ahead and cut it. It'll naturally die because it's not going to get any of the nutrients drawing up through the plant itself.
But make sure you have gloves on, long sleeve shirt,
yes.
a mask. You know,
yeah, some people are deathly allergic to it. If you can find some people, there are some people who are not.
Yeah.
If you know someone who really doesn't get it, ask them to do it. If you are deathly allergic, I highly recommend that you don't get into it. But first thing I would do is cut that. If you can spray it in beds, you can mix your Kilzol sometimes with your brush and stump killers. There are poison ivy killers. You definitely want to read your label on those. But topical sprays will work, but also remember, you know, if you're walking through it, wear pants and also take those pants off right before maybe you go in the house, shut the garage door, do whatever you got to do, wash them right away, or if you got some old ones you can get rid of.
No, I wouldn't recommend taking your pants off outside your house. But
I'm sure my neighbors don't want that either.
Probably not. But remember, the oils are out there, and the poison ivy's a little bit of work. It usually is fairly easy to spot. A lot of people miss poison ivy because they see five leaves instead of three. It will have a distinct look. It's easier to spot in the fall because it actually is a pretty red color.
Yeah.
It actually is pretty easy to spot then. But, you know, you're going to have, there are some sprays, but for the vine, you're going to cut it, let it die, and then get somebody who's not allergic or poison, who doesn't get it, and have them remove that from the house and the deck.
So there are some poison ivies that have five leaves?
No, there isn't. I'm sorry. Did I misspeak?
I don't know if you did or not, but it made me think of what my mom used to say. Yeah. When of three, let it be.
Yes. It's whenever there's three leaves, that's the poison ivy. And yeah. I apologize if I misspoke.
No.
Five leaves is usually just a creeper or something along those lines.
Okay. So does that help, Michelle?
If it's got five leaves, it's not poison ivy?
Correct.
The poison ivy only has three leaves. That's where you hear the old saying is, when leaves are three, leave it be.
What about poison oak?
Poison oak has a completely different look than poison ivy. It's just a totally different look than poison ivy. If you don't know quite what it is, if you can send us a picture over the Facebook page, I'll try to identify it and get back to you just to tell you what it is so you make sure. Or take a picture and take it to your local garden center. They'll tell you right away, and they'll get it fixed up for you, and then that way we can identify it properly and make sure we're taking care of it properly.
Okay.
All right. And we thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too.
749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Barge Nursery in with us. We have another phone call we're going to get to after the break. When we come back.
You know what? I think we need to revisit. Is it a good time to plant?
Yes. We'll find out, and we'll give you that answer in just a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And we were talking a little bit about poison ivy. And we got a phone call from a guy who said that Virginia creeper, which does have five leaves,
yes,
can be just as annoying. And he's very allergic to
it. You know, I'm glad he called in. We were going to talk about it anyways, but I'm glad he called because Virginia creeper looks like, a lot of people think it's poison ivy.
Mm-hmm.
It can have 3 to 7 leaves, but most of the time it's five.
Right.
And it has five leaves, so it usually stands out. Most people don't get a rash from Virginia creeper.
Mm-hmm.
But people can get a rash from Virginia creeper.
Right.
And there are a few parts of the leaf, and I don't remember all of it because that's not my specialty by any means, but there are some of that part of that plant that can be poisonous and toxic.
Right.
So you definitely want to identify it. And I think hopefully that's the best advice I can give to anyone. It's hard on the radio to take a description.
Sure.
And give the 100%. It's like the doctor. You call the doctor and you say, I got this rash thing, and it's kind of blue, purple, green, and red on my arm spreading. And they're going to have to see it. So if you have any doubt, don't go grab it.
Right.
Just take a picture of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's a baseball guy too, and that's what he said before he hung up. He says, we're supposed to play this game, and this was lining the park everywhere. And I said, no, we're not going to play here today, fellas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Virginia creeper is all over, and it's usually what people identify as poison ivy. Mm. But poison ivy, because of our soil type, we have quite a bit of poison ivy.
Oh, yeah.
And people need to be careful. I'm more allergic to poison ivy. Creeper usually doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I can grab creeper and pull it off. It usually isn't a big deal. But poison ivy will get me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it'll get you good.
Yeah, it'll get you good. So, you know, before we get into the break, though, we said, what are we going to talk about?
It's the big question, is it too late to plant?
Yes, it's a huge question. We're getting people in the garden center saying, oh, it's June, I can't plant.
Right.
I can't do it. Oh, it's too late. It's not too late.
Mm-mm.
This is a great time of year to plant. There's a lot of benefit to planting. Selection is still high. Sometimes you're going to see different sales. Like Memorial Day came up. You know, I know we were running sales. Others were running sales. You know, you can hear a couple on the advertisements. You know, there's some perennials. You're not getting leftovers right now.
No.
It's way too early for leftovers. You know, sometimes leftovers are good if it's, you know, a good meal.
Right.
But plant-wise, you know, a lot of times you don't want leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not getting any now. The garden centers are still stocked because we're so busy helping people and people needing plants that you're getting a great selection.
A lot of graduation parties, a lot of weddings, a lot of
don't say graduation cookies. Parties. I've got one of those. And if you have a graduation party coming up, don't wait till the day before to get it ready. You know, just a short story. Last weekend, I had my first day off on Memorial Day in a long time because it's spring. We work a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how bad my fence needed to be pressure washed, around the concrete, around the pool needed to be washed, the furniture. It had all that winter grime. Oh, yeah. You know, and the fence looks great. Mm-hmm. It's just I put way too much off. Don't put it off. It's a great day. Go do it. Don't be like Ernie in his basement. Don't let him keep putting it off. You can't do that. You got to get to it.
Yeah.
So, but going back to planting, is it okay? Yes. You should get out and do it. Get out and get plants. Mm-hmm. I was at some garden centers just this week meeting and talking to some different guys. I didn't get to everybody that advertises on the show, but I drove by Burgers out there at where Bart's at. You know, go see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go see Tony. He's got, I was at his place. You know, they got a great selection. I was out at Scott's. Go see him. I know Jim's got it. Holster's got it. They got it.
Mm-hmm.
Todd out there at Baden's, he's got it. I've got it. Go out and see us. We're wanting to help you. Mm-hmm. If you have any doubt, bring your pictures. If you like say you got an area you want landscaped and you just don't know what to do, almost everybody's got some way of taking a picture, whether it's a smartphone, a digital camera. Take a picture. Take it in with you. Let us help you.
Right.
You know, it's much cheaper to do it right the first time. Landscaping can be expensive. We all understand that. And we're all consumers. You know, I might not be a consumer of plants, but I am of other things. So I understand value. We want to have value for our customers.
Sure.
But it also, sometimes there's a big difference between being cheap and being economical.
And being thrifty.
That's right. There's a big difference. Yeah. And if you come in with your picture, we can really help you get a great value. You may go to another store, maybe get something cheaper, mm-hmm. you're probably getting what you're paying for.
That's exactly right.
You know, so yeah, you might buy it cheaper, but you got to buy three of them in the same amount of time. You got to buy one from an independent garden center who really shops to find great plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. so when we plant, if we're planting this time of year, what's the proper procedure? You know, it hasn't changed.
Sure.
That's what's good. Yeah. But we're going to review it again. So, you know, you want to dig your hole about, Tony likes to do a half. I like to do about a third, at least a third to a half wider.
Okay.
You want to set your root ball or plant ball in down into the soil. You make sure if it's a container, you want to rough the root balls up a little bit. You don't want it to look like it's still sitting in the same shape as the container. You want to break those roots up a little bit. Take some soil amendment. We've touched on it three times already in this show. Add some compost. Add some manure. Add some peat moss or a combination of all. There's no great perfect mixture. A 50-50 would be fine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go too heavy, but definitely want to add some compost manure. The soil that came out of that hole, you want to make sure you chop back up and use a lot of that same soil back around the root ball. That's a problem where a lot of people want to over-amend. And over-amendment can cause just as much trouble as no amendment.
Sure.
And the reason for that, let's take all this spring and how bad it was. Mm-hmm. How much water did we have? If you had a ball where you planted it and you put nothing but peat moss in there and none of the soil back, with all the rain, it was a bowl of water.
Right.
And those roots are rotting right now. And that plant is not doing as well as it should.
And that's going to be an issue for an awful lot of people.
Well, and then we go to, like we're going to probably for summer, because mm-hmm. we always do it in Cincinnati, where we go to almost no rain.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got the complete opposite. So you've put that plant through really hard stress. So if you amend properly, put a nice layer of mulch. When it's dry, we're doing some watering. When it's wet, we're letting it go. You're going to have great success, and the plant's going to do well.
Right. And so you mentioned this about your grandpa telling you, how do you know when it is, when's the best time to water?
Best time to water is stick your finger in the dirt. You gotta feel the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, we love playing in the dirt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell my wife, I'm never going to grow up. I play in the dirt.
Right. My wife uses it as a therapy, dirt therapy.
Well, and I know you and I have talked before about that smell like on a ball diamond.
Oh,
the
man.
It's this first smell in the garden center of the dirt.
Yeah.
It's a great smell.
Yeah.
Get out and work. You know, you're going to have a ball game, or you're going to have your kids doing something. Maybe you're doing something. You're busy. You know, today's going to be a great day. Get to your garden center and don't be afraid to do it. You know, it's amazing what you can do with a few annuals even now for a graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mine are ready. my annuals look great. I mean, we are probably a little loaded more than normal, but when you got 50 people coming to the house and you're a landscape designer, garden center person,
sure,
I need to have my house looking decent. I even did Tony's edging. You know how he said you always got to edge those sidewalks?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while since I've done that. And I did it. Yeah. It took forever.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Barge Nursery in for Tony. We do need to pause for a moment, and when we come back,
we are going to talk about our final and third plant of the hour.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Bob from Barge Nursery sitting in for Tony today. And Bob, we have Kathy on the line. And Kathy, you have something eating your plants in your flower bed? Kathy, are you there? There you are. Sorry. So you have something chewing up your plants?
No, I've got all these holes in the flower beds, and I've seen it. What I'm positive is a shrew, the little black things, smaller than a mouse. Can't catch them with a mouse trap. And actually, right by my rose bush, where there is a hole, part of the rose bush is dying off. So I don't know if they eat the roots or just air got to the roots from them digging there or what. But
yeah, they could be a nuisance, that's for sure.
They are.
Unfortunately, I don't know of any specific treatment to just kill them or prevent them. There may be something new out there, but I haven't seen it just yet. But one thing that usually is recommended is if you can try to get rid of some of their food source, which are some of the insects and different things that might be in the ground. So you could try that first. I've had people tell me it works. I've never tried it personally, where you flood them out and you're watering real heavy, and do
I'll
something.
Flood them out. Yeah.
That's a way of possibly doing it. Honestly, I have no idea whether that works. I've just had somebody tell me it works. It's kind of like the juicy fruit gum with moles. I've had people tell me it works. I've had people tell me it hasn't. But you're probably going to have to find a way if you can know what they're eating. You know, maybe if you dig up, not next to the plant, but somewhere around it, you probably have something in the soil that they're going after specifically. And we need to try to eliminate that food source. And I think if you do that, they'll probably go somewhere else.
Okay. Hey, I got one more quick question. Rose bushes, leaves are turning yellow and falling off.
Okay. A lot of that's probably somewhat weather related, just because of all the rain that we've had. Are you getting any spots on them as well? Are they spotting up and then yellowing and then kind of falling?
They're kind of get brown looking and then turn yellow and then fall off.
Yeah, you might need a fungicide. Just before I tell you to go buy anything, I always want you to take a picture to your local garden center, let them look at it. That way they can make sure they're selling you the right product. Because I don't like to use pesticides and fungicides and anything I don't have to use. I'm not big on it, and I do all the spraying at our garden center. I don't love them. I don't love pesticides. I realize that there is a value in them. But before you just take my word for it, because I haven't seen it, I want you to go just take a few pictures and see. But it sounds like you probably got some weather-related from all the moisture we've had and some of the cooler temperatures, and, you know, the roses will get affected by that.
All right. Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in and listening.
Bye.
Have a great day.
You too.
And, boy, it is going to be a great day.
Yes. A beautiful day to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
I have to share this with you, thinking of what she was just talking about. We did have a guy call in to see if you need a good cat. And I have to brag, we have a cat, the Pedro, that has a knack for getting moles and mice. But one of our grandsons, Gideon, comes to the house, and Pedro will bring, as cats do,
sure,
a little gift.
Yeah, they want to give it to him. They're proud of themselves.
And so Gideon goes to the door, and Lisa's called Mamaw, and Mamaw, there's a sleeping mouse outside.
Yes.
And that's when we know he's had a kill and brought it to the door to show it off, and we have to explain to Gideon that Mamaw's going to take it, put it somewhere where it's a little more comfortable.
Right, exactly. Got to explain it gingerly to those
young
ones.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, I mean, that is a good point. Sometimes your cats and dogs can kind of help with some of that, too. I mean, it has been. But I'd say probably they were digging around those roots, caused some problems, got a lot of air in there, a lot of open space. space, and that's what caused the problem. We
sure.
We don't have a whole lot of problems with garden centers with that, but occasionally they'll get in a few plants because they find, hey, this is pretty good. But that means there's usually something they're going after, a food source of some sort. Typically, it's more insects than it is roots, but they'll damage around the roots and damage the plant, and then you'll have a lot of trouble with that. So that's kind of where we get to.
749-B105. I want to remind you again to jump onto our Facebook page. Great way to stay connected with us. You can post pictures and post questions, and that's what Bob keeps referring to. If you have something that we're trying to you to describe to us, if you could take a picture of it and post it, it's a little easier for us to at least look at it and go, this is what this might be.
Yeah, I've always been this way, and I don't want to frustrate some of the callers, but I don't like to just diagnose it because I can diagnose things. And there's a lot of times it's easy to do sometimes because we've seen it so much. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to see things. I mean, it's kind of like a doctor. You need to be seen. You know, my ankle's sore. Well, is it broken? Is it twisted? Sometimes you need an x-ray. So there needs to be a visual look at a plant to make sure you're getting what needs to be done. So, and speaking of visual plants, I don't think we got to the plant of the hour. So I want to touch base on that right now. And so the final plant of the hour is the wine and rose weigelia. And for those who don't know, it's a burgundy leaf plant with a rosy pink flower. Gets 3 to 5 feet tall. Can be a very vigorous grower, but an absolutely gem in the landscaping. So the wine and rose weigelia is an absolutely gorgeous plant. Sometimes you'll find, because it's a trumpet-like type flower, the hummingbirds will kind of try to get in there occasionally, the early scouts and things along those lines, and you'll see them in there. Typically blooms around Memorial Day. Because we were a little warm earlier in the year, some of them started a little early, but they're kind of in their showboat right now or just finishing up, and it's a beautiful, beautiful plant. They have a lot of brothers and sisters and cousins that have a lot of different varieties, some yellows, some variegateds. So check out some of your weigelia, the final plant of the hour.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery Inn with us, and we need to pause for a moment. Bob, when we come back, we've got Jane on the line who's got a peach tree question for you. We'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in for Tony today. And Bob, we have Jane on the line from Evendale's got a peach tree question. Something is eating them.
Uh-oh. Good morning, Jane.
Hi. I have a peach tree, and it's wonderful. It produces peaches like crazy. Last year, I had squirrels, and they ate every bloody peach on the tree. What they would do is they would find out if they were ripe, take a bite out of them, and drop them. And then, if they weren't ripe, and then once they were ripe, I mean, you could just watch them go crazy on this tree.
No
this
peach year, cobbler at your house then, right?
Nothing. No canned peaches, no nothing.
They must be good. Maybe I should come over and steal some.
Oh, my. They were fabulous because 2 years ago, I had so many peaches it broke the branches. I mean, I had somebody come in and prune it for me so that it wasn't doing that anymore. And lots of peaches I go through in spring when they first come out, and I prune the peach, you go through
sure.
and take the peaches off. And oh,
right, and so painful. They're getting ripe, and right as they do, they get them before you do.
Yes. Yeah. So what can I do to keep these varmints off my peaches?
Well, first of all, it's probably going to take a ton of patience because we all remember even Chip and Dale from the cartoons and how that was so difficult. Well, that's kind of the same thing. You're going to have a lot of patience. I've never heard of anything great. I've heard of people doing different things with like some metal roofing to protect the trunk that they can't really jump up and climb. I have heard of people putting some different snakes and type things in kind of the tree where they can see it because they say it will deter them and maybe not, they may not take be as adventurous. I'm going to tell you, though, when they get close to being ripe, you better go beat them to it. I mean, that, unfortunately, is something you're going to probably have to do. But I have heard of putting some fake snakes and some other, like, predators of them in the tree Okay. And yeah, people may wonder, what is wrong with that lady putting this in the tree?
Right.
But you know what? It'll at least have, maybe it'll save some of your fruit. I mean, those guys are clever. They're athletic.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. They're almost fun to watch, but they're not when they're eating all the peaches. But
well, yeah.
Yeah, they're a nuisance. It's going to be something. I've had people even try some different traps, you know, and try to be humane with them. But those guys are so clever. As far as I know, I don't know if they'd even work, because I think they're good enough and smart enough to beat
right.
it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But try that and let us know how it works. Cause, or if somebody out there has got something that has worked, I'd love to hear about it, because I don't have any great solutions. That's just some I've heard.
The squirrel relocation program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A neighbor you don't like. No, yeah, kidding. I'm kidding. Go. Don't do that.
Well, let us know how it works out, Gene.
Okay. Thank
right.
you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery. They're the most frustrating things in the world.
Oh, they are. And I can just picture Chip and Dale right now.
Yeah.
I can just see it. I know I'm dating myself, that the younger generation has no idea what I'm talking about. But you know that they're just...
They're also looking for food.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and I have to, you know, sympathize with her, because Mammy and Pappy have peach trees in their backyard,
mm-hmm.
and she's right. They will come over and take a bite, and if it's not ready, they just drop it on the ground.
It's gone.
It's gone.
And really, the best thing that I know is try to beat them to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but try to beat mm-hmm. them to it, because mm-hmm. I've heard people wrapping, like, foil around the trunks for different things, and I don't think that works at all. I mean, if... Those guys are clever.
Sure.
I mean, they're clever.
Evolution.
Wow.
They figure it out.
Well, if we're hungry enough,
yeah.
we're going to
figure it out.
You might even start grilling if you're hungry enough.
I don't know about that. But it is funny to watch them try to carry that peach or a walnut. There's a walnut tree up behind the house, too, that, you know, they'll try to scurry along the fence and lose their
Absolutely.
Balance and drop it and get back up. You know.
So, but to change the subject just a little bit, because we're running out of time, and I'm not getting to half of what I wanted to talk about. So I would like to start talking about perennials, and I know we might have to get to a break here eventually, but we'll keep going, because now is a great time to get out and get your perennials.
Yes.
I mean, the late spring summer show in perennials is absolutely wonderful right now. And if you really want to see what things are looking like, now is a great time to get to the garden center and see it. You're going to see one of my favorites, the yellow coreopsis. I absolutely love coreopsis. Its flower is on top of the plant typically. It's not kind of mixed in all the way up through the stem. It's a really wispy type look. Tolerates full sun to part sun. It's a beautiful yellow flower. I love to mix it with my annuals, because then you can layer things. So you get maybe a creeping low annual with a taller coreopsis. It's just a beautiful flower. Your cone flower. I know a lot of people know what cone flowers are. You know, it's a really interesting flower. Looks a lot like a daisy type, but it comes in pinks and yellows and oranges and magentas and probably more colors than most men actually know, but
or see,
but it's a beautiful, beautiful plant, and they get some size to them. Typically, there are some that are 18 to 24 inches. There's some that are up to 36 inches. So your cone flowers are about ready to start and be in full bloom, and they love the sun, and they're an absolutely wonderful plant. Another perennial that I absolutely love is the Russian sage. It's a nice blue purple with a silvery foliage. There's a couple different types that there are out there. There's some tall ones. They can fall over a little bit, but there's one called Little Spire, which resists that breaking and falling over.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful plant. It's a different color leaf. And that's what perennials can get exciting if you do it right. It's not always about the show of the flower. Sometimes it's about the leaf color, too. And mixing those different things. And really, this is a great time to check those labels, because sometimes on the perennials, if you can get different times of the season, like one I love that is kind of finished the first round of bloom is Purple Salvia. If you cut it back now, it'll rebloom again. But now is the time where it doesn't look great once you cut it back. So that's where maybe the coreopsis mixed in with it gives you a little more show now, and then the purple comes back, and it really adds some interest. And then I know Tony's favorite, he's mentioned this time after time, is the butterfly weed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is a huge seller. I mean, it is an absolute, I'm selling a lot, he's selling a lot, I know everybody else is. And I'm not trying to promote something that is getting a little slim pickings, but mm-hmm. get to your garden center if you really want to attract butterflies. That's it. And it's a beautiful orange flower. It's an absolutely beautiful flower.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've got Bob from Bard's Nursery. And let me interrupt you just for a second. Christian is holding on the line. Yeah, he's got a gravel driveway that's got some plants and stuff coming out of it. Wants to know what he can use to kill it before we get back to the plants. I want to try to answer his question.
Yeah, let's get it in.
Hey, Christian. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead and ask Bob your question about the gravel driveway.
So I've got a gravel driveway, and it's got a lot of grass and like weeds growing in it, and I tried everything from the cheap spray to kill the grass to the top-end stuff, and I just can't seem to get rid of it.
Okay.
I wonder if you guys had any suggestions.
Have you ever tried a product called Killzall?
I don't think so.
Okay. It is a high-yield product.
What part of town you from, Christian?
I live out in Brooksville.
Brooksville, Indiana? Kentucky. Okay.
Okay. Anybody that carries a high-yield or Fertilome product is going to carry Killzall. Killzall has a surfactant in it. It's glyphosate, so it's a stronger version of Roundup. And it should work really well. The key to that is make sure your foliage gets plenty of chemical sprayed on it. So what I mean by that is you want to be able to see the grass, the weeds, whatever's coming through, and give it a spray. Mix it accordingly. You don't have to mix it heavy. Spray it on a hot, sunny day. If you're really having trouble, especially on the gravel, fill your tank sprayer, your pressure sprayer, with hot water. And then put the chemical in and then go spray. And that should help burn things up a little bit, and that should work. There are some total vegetation killers that will also prevent stuff, which will keep the weeds down for 6 months to a year. But you have got to be cautious, because if that stuff runs off, you could have some issues with the trees or the grass, or definitely don't want to use it around ponds and things like that. So be cautious with it. But the Killzall is one that you should have success with. There are some other Roundup products that are out there that are a little bit stronger than typically what you just buy, right on the shelf, and you can check with that. But there are some things out there that'll get it done.
Yeah, Christian, are you, you're probably not far from Batesville, right?
I actually live in Kentucky, by Maysville.
Oh, okay. So we were trying to find a local garden center to get close to you, but any independently owned operated garden center will have that for you.
And just ask them. You just want the typical over the counter Roundup and anything that's pre mixed already. You're really not looking to use that. You want to concentrate that you can mix yourself. Make sure the product has a surfactant in it, which is a spreader sticker. Some products have it in it. Sometimes you have to buy it separately. If it's not already mixed in with it, buy it separately. That's going to help the product stick to the foliage that you're spraying, the grass, the weeds, whatever you're killing, and it'll help give you a more effective kill. But a big thing, use the hot water. Try using that and spray when the sun's out. And then don't pour it on it. Just mist, get a pressure sprayer, pump it up, put some pressure in it, mist it on there, get plenty on there. You want to be able to see the residue sticking, but you don't want to have it so thick that it's running off your gravel, because we don't want it to run off and get into the water systems or anything like that.
And best of luck.
Thanks,
Christian.
Appreciate it, guys.
Mm-hmm. Bye. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Bob from Bard's Nursery in with us. When we come back, we'll talk more about
perennials.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've had Bob in from Bard's Nursery helping out while Tony's gone. And I just got off the phone with a guy. I felt awful for him. I have been down that road. He had some ivy on his house, pulled it off, and now he has those little tentacles everywhere.
Yep.
Other than some elbow grease and your buddies and a bunch of beer, you really got to
scrape
it, wire brush it, and then just kind of make it fun, because it's miserable.
It is miserable. But let's talk about something better, because we're going to have to go to lightning round. The day's almost over. It's gorgeous outside. Get to your garden center and check out some of the perennials. Daylilies are about ready, are in bloom. The Stellas are amazing. Happy Returns. There are so many varieties of daylilies. You've got to get out there and check them out. One that I love that's getting ready to bloom. It's a little bit later than the Stellas. It's called Pardon Me. It's a burgundy with a yellow throat. It's an absolutely gorgeous plant. So the daylilies are in full bloom. Also, another perennial that you don't hear of a lot that I absolutely love, I wanted to talk about today, and I know we're not getting much time. It's called Balloon Flower.
Balloon Flower.
It's a little shorter one. It's not real tall. It actually looks like an inflated hot air balloon before it opens up. And then it opens up to a real pretty purple flower. Like sun, can tolerate a little bit of moisture. It's a really, really, really nice plant. So I would definitely, if you're looking for something a little different, I don't think it's easy to find, but it's definitely one that I think is worthwhile. You know, your sedum and your low-color sedums are offering a lot of color, but not a whole lot of flower on those, so the ground-color sedums. Daisies are about ready to be in bloom. I'm not kidding. This is perennial showtime.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the garden center and take a look at your perennials. It'll be absolutely wonderful.
I love that. Sentimental Blue is the name of that.
Sentimental Blue is the variety that we have at the store. But I love it. I've loved it for years, and it's never been easy to find. And so I started growing a few, and I love it. It's just very different. So
beautiful.
But, you know, other things I wanted to get to, we just didn't get to, but quickly, you know, you're going to be doing some landscaping. We've touched on this a long time ago, but you need to do things in the proper order. So if you're out there doing some landscaping and you're going to be looking for patios and hardscapes, now's the time to start talking to your independent garden center or your company that does this, because everybody's already backed up into July and August, maybe further. You need to start planning for your fall landscape now. Don't wait until fall, or you're gonna do like people did this spring, who called me in May and said, hey, I want to clean up, and I said, I'll see you in July. What?
Yeah,
you know, and everybody was that way. So get into the ball game, get in early, call your independent garden center if you need your hardscapes. If you're doing it yourself, your hardscapes are always first. Remember, your large trees and large shrubs you want to plant first. If you're planting a large landscape, when you have multiple sizes of plants, start with the big ones, because you're always more energetic when you start.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helps with your spacing.
Sure.
Put the big stuff in first, work your way down to the middle-sized plants, to the smaller perennials. And then this is where you kind of get a little gray area. Some people will mulch first and then add their annuals. I do that because I think it's easier to pull a little mulch away and then plant the annual.
Right.
Some people like to plant their bed of annuals and then try to mulch between them. I'd rather see you mulch, then put your annuals in, and then also weed control. That can be done before the mulch, can be done after, or both, but you don't want to really throw that a lot of times where you're going to put a lot of new stuff. So just put some of those herbicides and pre-emergence to prevent your weeds kind of in before the mulch, and then I like to throw it on top too.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
But make sure when you're doing your own landscaping, just do it in order. It's like everything else. When you build a house, you don't put the roof on first.
You got to
put the foundation in.
Yeah.
So start with that. Amend your plants. And don't be afraid to go plant. It's a great time to plant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is technically still spring. And it is.
It is.
I mean, I plant year-round.
Yeah.
I plant, unless the ground's frozen, we plant in the middle of July. I don't care if it's 100 degrees. I tell my customers, it's fine. You need to water.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and plant. If you don't have time, because maybe, like me, I coach ball. You know, sometimes that takes a lot more time. I don't get to the yard till later. If you're one of those guys or girls and you don't have time till summer, it'll be fine. But start getting your game plan together now and just do it right, and you'll be perfectly fine.
And get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and get the good sound advice you get there.
You know? A funny story before we go. Years ago, I was at one of the box stores, and I see this young kid. He's working hard, and he didn't know any better, and he's watering these Sistina plum plants that are dead as a doornail. I mean, they are dead.
His boss said go water,
and he doesn't know any better. You know, he didn't know anything. He's just doing his job. He's working hard, and I wasn't a jerk. I just walked to him, and I said, those don't look real good. Oh, they're fine, sir. They're fine. He didn't know. I just kind of laughed it off.
But,
you know, there's a reason why the local independent garden centers, we work hard at getting the best information, getting the best plants. And I know for a fact that all these other local leaders that advertise on the show, I know them personally. Mm-hmm. They're not out just to make a buck.
Right.
we all need to make a living, but we're there to help because we're all nerds when it comes to this sure. stuff. We love it.
Yeah, I think an easy way to describe that is you have a vested interest in the product you sell and the maintenance of that. You know, when people Absolutely. Come in and say, I really want to do this.
We don't sell you a plant and then we're done with
and
you.
And say, good luck.
Right. We yeah. sell you a plant. We want you for years.
Yeah.
We want to make sure
repeat
that plant,
customers.
Yeah. I was at a lady's house just the other day. We were fixing up a little landscape for her that got a little bit unruly and out of control. Her maple tree that I personally planted about 20 years ago is 50 feet tall and wow. about 30 foot across. It's gorgeous. She needed shade on her patio when we planted it. She's like, oh, that's going to take forever. Well, now she's got
she's
incredible shade.
Yeah.
We were talking about it. I said, you remember when I planted that about 15 years ago? She started laughing. We were laughing. I said, yeah. and then just going back to the good old days.
Wonderful.
So
good stuff. Hey, it's been a pleasure having you here again.
Thanks for having me on.
For coming in.
Love being with you.
Thanks. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Thanks to Bob from Bard Nursery. It's a beautiful day. Get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. We'll be back next week.